All right, welcome back, everyone. This is a special episode of the Secrets of Leadership Coaching. And the reason it's special, even more so than usual, is I have Ms. Rosalie Chesney with me here today. She is my co-facilitator in a webinar series that she and I do together on intergenerational leadership, intergenerational coaching. So welcome, Rosalie.
Thanks, JR.
So we have a format. We usually break our webinars down into four parts and introduce ourselves. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience, and then I'm going to take some time to introduce myself when you're done.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually coming up on my 1 year anniversary of working for Flattr. And when I started out, I started as a social media marketing manager. Little did I know that through that, JR would get me on the Courageous Leadership Accelerator program. And through that, I'd find how meaningful coaching has been and start my journey there. So I'm just happy to be here. I am still working towards my coaching certifications, hopefully can be PCC by May 2022. And yeah, just happy to be here. JR?
Hey, thanks, Rosalie. You forgot one of the most important parts.
Or maybe yes.
You said it, I didn't hear you. You're the Gen Z of the team.
Yes, I am the Gen Z co-facilitator of the program.
So it is intergenerational leadership. So you're the Gen Z voice. I'm the boomer voice. Mm-hmm. And so that's my role in the series that we're starting September 8th, right?
Yep, September 8th. Wednesday is 5 to 6.
PM Eastern Standard Time. So I'm doing a plug for us. An impromptu plug. Hour a week live. Mm-hmm. And then a couple hours a week outside of the lectures. But well, I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself before I start bragging on the seminar too much. I'm J.R. Flattr, the founder and chairman and the chief learning officer of Flattr Incorporated, which Two Roads Leadership, our leadership vertical, is a division of that corporation. I'm a coach and I'm an ICF PCC coach. We're trying to get you across that finish line. So hopefully break a record as the youngest PCC ever. So my doctorate's in leadership development. I've been leading for decades, 40 plus years now. It's a real passion for me. Love being on the podium and watching the light come on in people's eyes. Love being in the coach chair, watching self-discovery. Just a lot of fulfillment in that. So our peers are our listeners. So other leaders, other coaches, other consultants, other mentors. So the purpose of our podcast every week is to provide information, provide advice to those people. And this week we're focused on intergenerational leadership, intergenerational coaching. So what advice or information might you have for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, just talking about multi-generational teams and working across generations, I think that there is this large disconnect sometimes, and it should be addressed that we all are coming from different generations. We are different. We should acknowledge that and recognize that. And then moving forward can work together on teams or work together in coaching relationships. In fact, I can think of a time that when we went through the coaching program where I was coaching a senior leader in the U.S. Air Force, and I am merely 21 years old, and it was such a big deal for me. And it's almost getting out of your head and realizing that we are more common, we're more alike than we think. Mm-hmm. And I think that has been something that's been really, really meaningful for me. And I'd also say one of the things that's helped me too is getting comfortable with the uncomfortable in that there is going to be differences. There's going to be communication differences. I can list off so many different lingo of my generation that doesn't match other generations. That's normal. It's actually can be an educational opportunity, as I've learned through JR in our conversations. So I think that's important. And I think that can be really meaningful, especially if you're struggling with different generations across the workplace, if you're struggling with meeting eye to eye with different generations, provide time in your meetings and provide time to just talk about normal life. And I think that can make everyone feel a lot more comfortable and having a seat at the table. So that's just been a big thing for me. Communication, communication, communication. Very, very important. So,
quoting our good friend John Cotter.
Yes.
Leading change.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you're talking about a lot of the same themes that I think would come to mind if I were asked the same question. And you mentioned the findings that we had out in Seattle a couple of years ago. We had 5 of the 6 living generations in the room for 3 hours. And we broke them down into 5 different groups spread across the different generations. So each generation was represented in each group. And that's exactly what they discovered in those 5 different conversations across 3 hours, is that they were so much more alike than they were different. If they would just take the time to recognize and appreciate. But what I also take away from that is, if we're going to work together, what are those things that we agree upon that we agree upon? And those are the foundations of our culture as a team, as an organization. And then everything else, I get to choose. So what are those few, and I mean very few, foundational things that absolutely must have? And it all depends on the mission and vision of the organization. If it's a church, if it's a nonprofit, if it's a for-profit, every one of those has different requirements. But let's agree on those things. And then everything else, the way you wear your hair, the way you talk, the way you dress, probably not all is that important that we might think it is across different generations.
Mm-hmm.
But what are those couple of things? So what else relevant in your, so you just finished with a cohort mm-hmm. a few weeks ago, and that was magnificent. Almost all Gen Zs.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting ready to start another one that's more intergenerational. What are some of the things you learned from that cohort?
Yeah. There's many, but if I could talk about one of the greatest takeaways, was that everyone is at different stages of their life. And so that's going to inform your house of leadership, which is something that a tool that we talk about in our programs and in our leadership development programs. Everyone is going to have different houses of leadership built differently for what stage of life that they're at. And, I think that personally, for me, even at the start, it's like each iteration that we go through, I'm constantly changing different parts of my house, and it's tipping one way and looking this way or that way, and nothing's wrong with it. It's my house, but it's just going to be informed differently by where I am at my life. And I think that was one of my biggest takeaways, listening to everyone else develop their own house of leadership too. And most of all, there's no judgment with how your house looks like. I always used to say, with my metaphors and things like that, looking at all of the houses together, everyone's houses, it's a beautiful neighborhood. Everyone is different. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of the most powerful takeaways that I had, was just listening to other people be inspired and excited to talk about how they saw their house of leadership changing, what different construction projects they were taking on in different mm-hmm. parts of the house throughout the program. But what would you say would be your greatest takeaway from our last iteration?
Well, of course, being the boomer in the audience, in the cohort, and the common phrase now is, okay, boomer. Right? We're rolling the eyes. Okay, boomer. So I was a little bit anxious about that Gen Z crowd and how easily they might accept not only being facilitated by a boomer, but also one of the other tools you and I use in building that house of leadership is, what does your house look like 30 years from now? And when you ask a 20-something what that house looks like, that's the first time ever they've thought about 32-year-old or 52-year-old them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little frightening.
Yeah.
I remember the first time you and I had that conversation. But then at the same time, as a 59-year-old boomer, I'm asking myself the same question. I'm asking my peers the same question. And even when you get to that stage in your life where it's largely mathematically impossible to be here 30 years from now, you still want a legacy. What does your family look like? What is the company you built and worked in look like? What does your church look like? What does your soccer team look like 30 years from now? And so my greatest takeaway is how willing that cohort was to accept that vision, how real it became for them, and how quickly it became real.
Yeah.
So at first, everyone pushes back on that idea. Oh, I couldn't possibly do that. Well, you want to have your health probably, right? You want to have people who love you around you, whatever that family looks like. You probably want to have some financial freedom. You don't want to be working paycheck to paycheck 30 years from now. So what are some purposeful things you could start doing today? And we back that off to 5 years, make it more real. 1 year to make it really real. And then finally today, what do you need to do today before you go to sleep? So that was my biggest takeaway, is how quickly they accepted that and then how powerful it became for them by the end of the
And you mentioned something there that makes me think of, I think that one of the biggest issues with coming together across generations is taking down your preconceived notions. You know, I feel like this generation has a hard time listening to older generations, and vice versa, older generations having a hard time listening to younger generations. But it really all, as simplistic as it sounds, it really all starts with respect and the ability to respect someone else. And as we say, get down in the arena with them and listen to them, have an honest conversation and grow. There's so many things that I never, if I could see myself a year ago, I would have never imagined that I would have, like, I just have preconceived notions, and I would have never expected to learn as much as I have from you. And I'm sure that's a mutual. And I just think that it really starts with having respect for another human being and being able to understand them and be there with them, and just have an open mind and open heart, like we say all the time. So.
Yeah, I'm going to bring you back to your vision of the arena, because I love the way you describe that. Because you bring a Gen Z perspective to the person in the arena analogy. But what you reminded me of was our Emerson quote. We say it all the time, Ralph Waldo Emerson: everyone I meet is wiser than I, and that I learn something from each of them. And it's so true if you just allow yourself to, and it starts with that word that you said, respect. Do I have an open heart and an open mind, and can I respect them? Will I respect them? And I think an intergenerational seminar like this begins to show you that it is easy. I've done a lot of research, as you have, in this topic. And Shakespeare wrote about the generations in 1599.
Yeah.
In As You Like It. They've had scrolls on cave walls complaining about the slothfulness of the youth of that day. It's just one of those things that when you rise up to be the leader of the world, that you suddenly begin to question how those before you and how those coming after you, are they worthy? Were they worthy? And it's just an intergenerational thing that, or I should say a perennial thing, I think it's going to be with us until forever.
Yeah.
So let me bring you back to how you described the person in the arena.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there are pivotal moments in each of our lives where you don't really have a choice. You're being forced to go out into the arena, as Brené Brown mentions. And in that arena, you are being met with a crowd of individuals who are all staring at you, and you're on the spotlight of the stage. And you are questioning yourself, and you're saying, how am I going to survive this? I'm going to be ridiculed. I'm going to be criticized. What am I going to do? And in situations like that, and we talk about this in our program, obviously courage is the foundation. But most of all, I think that it's being able to look out into the crowd, stare into the eyes of the individuals that you have in your arena, and recognize whose voices you should be paying more attention to. As we say, being selective with how you choose to rent out the seats of your arena. If there are other individuals, so say my teammates, I would want them in the first row. You know, they're out there in the arena with me, and they are putting themselves on the line, if you would say, every day. So I they're there with me, and I respect any criticism that they have or any ridicule that they have to give me. But then there are others that might ridicule and criticize you that aren't doing the same, that aren't putting themselves in the same arena that you are. And so I think it's really important sometimes when also trying to bridge across generations to be selective about where you rent and where you put those individuals in your arena. If someone's not putting the same energy as you are, you can choose to put them in the back of the arena and choose to not listen to them. Their voices, you can be selective about where you put them. So it's something that really like took going through our first iteration for me to completely understand. And I think one of the hardest parts about coming across generations is that there always will be those people that might never come down to earth and come like understand you completely. They won't bring down their preconceived notions. They won't have their hearts and minds open. Hey, that's okay. Everyone's life is different and we don't judge anyone else's house, of leadership or their life. And so there are going to be those people, but you can be selective about where you stage them and where you put them in your life.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so powerful, especially in this era of cyberbullying, right? Just turn the volume down.
Yeah, mute.
And it takes, you know, part of the foundation of this house that we've been talking about is courage. Mm-hmm. Do you have the courage to turn the volume down? Do you have the courage to surround yourself with people who love you and support you and push the others away? So we are the secrets of leadership coaching. Mm-hmm. So as guests, which you and I both are this session, we got to give up a secret. So I'm not even sure what mine is yet. I think I know what it is. Depends on what you say.
Yeah.
So what's your secret? What's your secret of successful coaching?
I'll get started. My biggest secret, and it's one of the quotes that it's like my life's motto to tell individuals. So I'm happy to use this as a platform to do so. But one of my favorite quotes is, give yourself grace in times of uncertainty. And coming across generations is a very uncertain experience. Coaching different generations is a very hesitant almost experience to get started, but give yourself grace as you're adjusting to working with another individual from a different generation, whether that be a coaching relationship, a working relationship. I think it's one of the greatest things you can do, because it's not easy to open your heart and mind all the time, but if you can give yourself the grace to do so, you'll learn so much more and you'll grow so much more from that experience. So that's what my biggest secret.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah. I quote you all the time on that. Well, my secret is something I learned from you. And that is, I'm enough.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're wondering, do I have what it takes to be a leader? Do I have what it takes to be a coach? Do I have what it takes to be a mentor? Or any of those other fill in the blank, hairy audacious goals that you're choosing for yourself, to borrow from Jim Collins, good to great. You are enough. You're a relatively young person, but a magnificent coach. As I've said many times, I'm a boomer. And you said you coach senior leaders in our Air Force quite successfully. I coach boomers and Gen Zs and the Gen AA's, which are coming after the Zs.
Yeah.
Because the Gen Zs are in college, they're joining our military, they're in the workforce already. We might not realize that.
Uh-huh.
The double A's are right behind them. They're in school already. They'll be in our organization sooner rather than later. So they are enough. You are enough. Not just you and I, but everyone who's listening, everybody who's thinking about, can I, do I, will I?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you and I talk a lot about is this intersection of willingness and ability. You are able to get better and you are able to achieve more willingness. And so part of what we talk about in this entire 12-week seminar is, how do you increase both of those? Your willingness to be a coach, your willingness to be a leader, and your ability to be a coach, your ability to be a leader. So that's a secret that comes to the top of my mind. So the last thing I would ask of you, give us a couple of references of people we should invite for future sessions that would be valuable to our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, the one person that comes to mind is one of the professors I actually had. I didn't mention this at the beginning, but I'll just throw it in now. One of the reasons I got into leadership in the first place was through the Honors College program at James Madison University, and that led me to meet Dr. Amelia Underwood. And in her class, we talked about the different generations, even adding that layer of female empowerment among that as well, which was really, really powerful. So she would be my referral for our next program.
Okay, perfect. I'll give you a second to think about a second one. So my first one is a gentleman who I've been working with for several years now, retired chief of police. He is an instructor for the FBI LEADA program, law enforcement executive development. Apologize, I forget what the A is. And so he travels all over the country teaching law enforcement leaders. Leadership and coaching and mentoring. And he's also a coach. He's a magnificent coach. And so I'd love to have him sooner rather than later.
I just thought of one more too, actually from someone from our first program, Andrew Pierce. He was one of the students in that
Oh, yeah.
program, and he's going into the Army soon, so best to catch him before he goes on his merry way there. But I think he'd be also a wonderful candidate for this podcast.
Great. So my second one is a young lady by the name of Krista Davis. She's a young coach such as yourself, graduate of George Washington University, has her own coaching business, and empowers women leaders, empowers women coaches. And anybody who knows me knows I'm surrounded by powerful women, sitting here with one of them right now. And so it only makes sense that we invite another powerful woman on as a future guest. So, any parting thoughts as we wrap up here?
Other parting thoughts, just though I feel like that was a wonderful session, and I'm very happy to be here, and I'm honored that just cannot believe it's been a year and
Well,
that we're where we are now. So just very, very blessed.
Well, just watching you now versus watching you a year ago, it's an incredible transformation. Not that you were lagging behind then, but man, you've just grown so much in the last year. It's incredible.
Thank
And
you.
you're going to keep doing it year after year for many decades. So it's great working with you, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon. Thanks, JR.
Take care.